Scripture says something that I still can't get over it, but I'm still, every time I read that, I want to just throw my hands up and worship the Lord. Just pour my heart out and worship the Lord. It said that He is a God who inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Now, the Eastern nations may understand that scripture better in the actual Hebrew. It means that when we worship Him from our heart in truth and sincerity, we make a throne for Him. We make a throne for Him. When the monarch traveled, they took the throne and set Him on it and carried Him on that throne wherever that He was traveling to. They carried Him on the throne. Amen. And when we praise Him from the heart, we make a throne for Him in our heart. And when we make a throne for Him in our heart, He comes and takes His rightful place on the throne we have made for Him in our heart. Hallelujah. And when He does, we get to sense the very presence of God in our own spirit, our own soul. Praise God. So let's continue. One more song. Let's make a throne for Him. Hallelujah. If you knew Jesus would materialize here today, I'd want to find a better chair. I mean, there's some nice chairs here. I mean, as far as chairs go, amen. But I'd want a throne for Him. Hallelujah. And I'd want Him, this is where you're going to sit today. Amen. Because you deserve all the glory and the praise. Let's thank Him today. Hallelujah. I think we made a good throne for Him. Praise God. And He takes His place upon the throne that we make. When we give Him that place in our life. Amen. As Lord of all. King of kings. Lord of lords. Our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. Once again, we're glad that you're here today. We appreciate that you take the time, because time is running out. According to the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures, we're living in the last of the last days. That's not giving specifics on the coming of the Lord, but when we see certain signs, we know we're in the season of His coming. That doesn't give specifics. The Bible said we don't even dare to think we can do that. Not even the angels in heaven know that day. Jesus said, but my Father only. He knows, and He has set that time. But He told signs that would give us a season and an understanding. When you see these things that He talked about begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Get a heart filled with holy anticipation. Say holy anticipation. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. He said that to the redeemed that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's talking about not just your redemption from sin's power and consequence, but your redemption from this earth and from this physical body that is limited. Amen. His coming for His bride, His church. It's getting close when you see these particular things. And He enumerated them for us so we could know the season of His coming. So we could lift up our heads in holy anticipation. To them that look in holy anticipation, He shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. When it says without sin, it does. Of course He's sinless. He never sinned. He took our sins on Himself, but He never sinned. Amen. Never ceased to be God. Listen, without sin unto salvation. It means this coming is not the coming, the second coming to judge sin. This coming is for His bride. It's not the second coming. It's the secret coming. It's the coming for His bride. At midnight there is a cry. Behold, who's coming? The bridegroom's coming. Can you say, man, go ye out to meet Him? Hallelujah. Well, I could preach on that about 14 hours, but we only have about 3 or 4 hours to get this done, so we'll just get right into the rest. Don't pay any attention to that 3 or 4 hour thing. It's going to be okay. Amen. We scared. We have a visitor here today, and we just scared our visitor. Amen. We would ask you to bring a lunch if we were going to do that and share it with us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good today. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy to do something before I go into this, if you will. Would you, and I'm going to just spring this on you, would you pray for our brethren that are being persecuted around the world, and particularly in Nigeria and North Africa? Now, I said something I want to explain last week. I said, you know, Trump is crazy. And it just may be that's what God needs to scare some people bad enough that they will begin to withdraw this genocide of Christians in North Africa. Thousands upon thousands have been killed, are being killed, and will continue to be killed unless someone steps in. He's crazy enough to put a hurt on them militarily and not ask Congress or the Senate or somebody else about it. And when he defends Christians that are under the gun like that, I believe he's going to have God's blessing. And if they think he's crazy enough to do it, and I think they think he's crazy enough to do it, and that's a good kind of crazy, they need to fear somebody. They're acting like there is no God to answer to and no government to answer to, and they are very, very mistaken. Jesus said, whoever touches you touches me. Amen. If you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. So he takes what happens to us personally. Can you say amen? So I just believe we need to pray for our president today, who is scaring some people. And I pray they'll get so scared they will withdraw, and that God's blessing and God's shield will be around Christians around the world that are being killed, not because they are a political movement, not because they're a military threat, simply because they are the followers of the cross. They are the followers of Jesus Christ.
Father, we just come before you this morning appealing to your mercies. For the scripture says that we should be mindful of those who are imprisoned, yes, and those who suffer affliction and adversity as being in the flesh ourselves. And Lord, we are one body. We stand with our brothers and sisters all over the world. Yes. And oh Lord God, we knew and we know from the scriptures that persecution is a part of our Christian heritage, Lord God. And we want to lift up our brethren in Nigeria, all over the North Africa, in the 1040 window, China, North Korea, Indonesia, Lord God, yes, Afghanistan, all of these places where Christians are suffering physically, being imprisoned, families being divided, and all the things that are happening. Father, we appeal to your mercies in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, yes, Lord God, Father, that you would strengthen them by your grace to stand faithful to you to the very end. And I pray that not only that, Lord, but that you would stretch forth your hand to heal, yes, and that signs and wonders might be done, yes, in the name of your holy child Jesus, that you would bear witness to your word that they preach, Lord God, with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to your own will. Father, Lord, the fire may turn up on our brothers and sisters. The fire may turn up on us. But, Lord, we want Holy Ghost fire, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we do not back down. We do not shrink back. But we pray that you will grant them boldness. And we pray that in the natural, you will meet the needs of their family, Lord, whatever it may be. The need for food and shelter and whatever it may need in the natural, in the things that they're suffering, Lord, that you will abundantly meet those needs, Lord God. And we pray that the conviction of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come will come on their captives, on their persecutors. We pray for their salvation as well, Lord God. But we pray that in these last days that you would pour out your spirit so mightily, even as you promised, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, regardless as to whether it's a bamboo curtain, iron curtain, whatever it may be, that the light of the glorious gospel will pierce the darkness and shine even into the regions of the shadow of death and bring life and light and immortality through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, strengthen us over here in America to be encouraged by the faith of our brethren who are suffering under the gun. And we pray for our president. We pray for his salvation. We pray for the salvation of those in his administration, that they will come under a conviction of sin and see the light of the gospel in their own personal need to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not the cultural Christianity, but the true biblical revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is, the coming King, the coming Judge, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good today. Hallelujah. How many glad that you live in America where we still have freedom. Let's never, ever, ever take it for granted. Praise God. Pray for kings and those that are in authority that we may live a peaceable life. Their decisions will affect us. So let's pray that God will help them to make wise and righteous decisions. If you have your Bible, would you open it, please, to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I want to talk to you today for just a little while about the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. The cleansing power, not just the covering power. I heard someone say the other day, in one of the hyper grace ministers and ministries, and he said, you know, once you get saved, God can't see through the blood. In other words, the blood covers any sin from that point on, and God can't see it because it's covered by the blood, and God can't see through the blood. And so it's almost like saying, you know, I got saved. Now listen, I'm not perfect. Can I get an amen? It didn't have to be that loud. Amen. But anyway, thank you for it anyway. I'm not perfect. Let's see if you can amen this. Neither are you. Amen. That's even a better amen. Hallelujah. There is no such thing as some super sanctified state of sinless perfection down here. If no amen, just dead silence. There is no one. The Bible said there is none righteous. No. It's reiterated because some people think they are, or if they're not, they know someone who is. According to our standard, that may be true. But God's standard is so much higher than our standard. He said that in order to be righteous, you've got to be perfectly sinlessly perfect. Perfectly sinlessly perfect. There's none righteous with that standard. No. Not one, the scripture says. Not even one. There's none that doeth good. None. There's a lot of good people, but good to God's standard of sinless perfection, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Only one man ever lived and never sinned, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason his blood had any value when he died on that cross. He died as a spotless lamb, and God accepted his sacrifice in our behalf. And to prove that he accepted him, he raised him from the dead for our justification. And he became the firstborn of many brethren. That means he was the first man in a human body, though he was God in flesh, the first man to ever live, die, be raised from the dead to never die again. Lazarus raised from the dead. He died again. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. She died again. Jesus raised from the dead. He's alive and well. Can you say amen? He's coming back again. All right. The blood of Jesus has cleansing power. In the old covenant, their sin was covered for a season. In the new covenant, it's canceled. It's canceled. It's cleansed. Cleansed. Remember the songs? There's a lot of bad theology in songs. One song in particular that gets my goat every time I hear it because the theology is so bad. And it's a good song. I like it. It's about healing and what Jesus did and faith enough to tear the roof off of a house. Amen. It's a song about when a man who was ill and couldn't get out off his cot, and they couldn't get in the house where Jesus was teaching to get him in the presence of the Lord to seek healing for him. So his friends took him. They must have took ropes and hoisted him up onto the roof of the house. They tore a hole in. If you ever hear the scripture, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's not talking about meanness, what people do in road rage, and somebody killed somebody the other day because they held the door for them, and they didn't say thank you. And they got into an argument, and one lady killed another lady. I mean, great snakes, great snakes. Guy opened the door for me the other day. And I said, thank you very much. I mean, it's scary to live in a world that people are that, can murder for that kind of, I mean, that happened last week. That's crazy. It's crazy. Road rage. I don't have a sticker that says honk if you love Jesus, you know, because, no, I don't have one, but even if I see one, I don't honk, and I do love Jesus. I don't know who's driving the car if they love Jesus. And there are people that want to fight you or shoot you because you honked the horn at them because they didn't get their foot off the brake and onto the pedal in time at a red light. Somebody cut me off in traffic years ago on the way to church. I mean, they pulled right in front of me. If I didn't hit my brakes, I would have hit them. And guess what they did? They gave me the bad finger. And I thought, wait a minute. You cut me off. I had to hit brakes. I had the right of way. And you're giving me the California wave. That's what I... You know which... Don't show me, okay? You know which finger, you know which finger's the bad finger, right? Do you? Okay. And I thought, that ain't right. And I accelerated up behind them, and it's like the Lord said, now what are you going to do if they stop? I said, I'm not going to do anything. That, just as a Christian, I'm not going to do anything. But even if I wasn't a Christian, you just don't, you know, you don't know what you're going to get into anymore. Somebody might want to kill you. And you're saying, what kind of world is this? So this idea that we come to Christ as our Savior and now it doesn't matter from there on out because God can't see through the blood. I can do anything I want to. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. There's no consequences. In the Old Testament, the psalmist David said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Under the old covenant, that could be covered. Amen. But don't think that God doesn't know when we walk in rebellion. And every sin that is ever committed is a rebellious act against his right to rule in our life. I do not believe in Savior and negotiate to what extent he will become the Lord of your life. I don't believe that's how, I don't believe you can, well, let me tell you why I don't believe that. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Remember when Robert Zimmerman, he's a pop singer, folk singer, Bob Dylan, does that ring a bell with you? Well, his name is Robert Zimmerman, real name, Jewish name. And he had a brush encounter with Christianity, and he wrote a song, and I really love the song. Amen. And he said, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. And he talked about all the different cultural strata of society that we live in. You might be a pauper. You might be a king. You might not have anything. You might have a long string of pearls. But regardless, you got to serve somebody. And you are, in fact, serving somebody. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan, but you're not just, no, I'm my own person. I don't serve anyone. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Romans 6:16. Whoever you yield your members servant to obey, his servant you are whom you obey, whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. You not only got to serve somebody, you are, and I am, serving somebody. I'm not sinlessly perfect. I'd like to do a better job of serving Jesus. But I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I recognize that He is my master, and I am His doulos. Amen. Our webmaster here, amen, his code name for the internet is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. I believe you spell it that way. And it does, this word servant is actually a word that we draw back from because it means slave. I have a master, and I want him to be my master. I want him to master me. Amen. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Not my Savior, and then let's negotiate. Amen. Someone said the communion table is not where you negotiate with God, where you decide to what degree He's going to be allowed to have an influence in your life. It's a place where we're supposed to agree to unconditional surrender. In light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it's supposed to affect us so deeply that we recognize we are bought with a price, and the price is the precious, sinless, spotless blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. We are bought with a price, and we are not our own. But until we give ourselves away to God and fully surrender to Him, how many know there's the name Christian doesn't necessarily mean a surrendered life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? It can, it should, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. But God is calling, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows you won't be perfect at this. He understands that. He gets us. But we should bow to no other master in our life than Jesus Christ. For we have been bought with a price, and the price was the precious blood. For you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Redeem means to ransom. If you're going to ransom somebody, you pay the ransom. And normally it would be a silver and gold price, but there's something that is way beyond, far beyond, not even to be compared with all the wealth of the world, and that is the precious blood of God's own Son, sinless blood in our behalf. It should melt our hearts. It should make us want to follow Him as a true disciple. We were not just told to build churches and get people in the church to meet budgets and building funds and bring in the bucks. Go and make disciples unto me. And the only way we will become a disciple, because Jesus said it's imperative, if you would be my disciple, my follower, deny yourself. Don't indulge yourself. There's a self-indulgent message out there, and many people are buying into it. But He said, if you're going to follow me, you start with denying yourself. You lose yourself in me. He that finds his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake will find it. How can you lose your life and find life? Because Jesus said that a man's life, woman's life, boy or girl, doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And if you never find his life in you, you'll always be looking, just like the world about you, for something or someone to satisfy that deep longing of your soul. I love that song that says, I searched for him, and I knew not what I searched for. I longed for him, and I knew not what I longed for. Then I found Jesus, and I knew that I would long no more. He filled that longing down in my soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to present a Christ to a world that is searching, looking, trying everything that the world has to offer? And that's why the devil has such an influence, because he promises this will fulfill you, that will fulfill you. If you go after that, it will fulfill you. But he's a liar and the father of it. But Jesus said, Amen. I can fulfill you. And not only fulfill you, save you from the consequences of your sin. Because the blood of Jesus not only covers our sin, actually it goes so much deeper than that. It cleanses us. Tell you a bad theology song? Well, there's so many of them. I'll just pick that one because it's a faith issue. And there's a song about them tearing the roof off and letting Jesus down. And he said when he saw their faith, and that included the man, by the way. If you're an invalid and a bunch of yahoos want to take you up on a roof with ropes, you have to consent to it. What if they drop you? What if they drop you? You already got a problem. You're going to have a real problem if they drop a man that can't get up and walk. But he consents. Yeah, get me to Jesus, whatever it takes. Get me to Jesus. Well, the song said, having no faith of his own. I believe he had a lot of faith. And I believe when Jesus said he saw their faith, it included his faith. Because, can I tell you why? I'm going to tell you anyway. Because Jesus never healed anyone without requiring their faith. Amen? Search the scripture. It's a good challenge. Open it up. Get in it. Do you believe? A man says, Lord, a man, blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting by the wayside and he says, there's nobody to help him. And he hears this entourage coming. He hears all this noise, all of this excitement. He's heard about Jesus. He believes that Jesus will heal him and can heal him. But he's blind and he's sitting by the wayside where they're coming by. And he waits until the sounds are so close. And if you're blind, you have a heightened sense of sound to help you navigate. And when it's right in front of him, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. And nothing happened. They're going right on by, and he yells louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. By the way, I want to point out the target of his faith was not, it was a given, he has the power to do it. The issue, does he have the will to do it in my behalf? That's going to be always the issue of faith. So I'm not going to just talk to you about how much power God has, but his person and his love, his compassion and his mercy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a merciful God. Amen. And he knew something about the character, the unchanging character of God. And he said, have mercy on me. The power will be released. I will be healed if you're merciful enough to release it to me. So Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples heard him yelling like that, and they said, shh, you trouble the master. Now is when you get a chance to really express your faith, when you get the blowback. Not only, you didn't get it from Jesus, you got it from a religious crowd that was following Jesus. You know, the biggest blowback I've ever got against preaching healing and declaring my own healing was not from the world out there. It's from people that said healing is over. It's done. And if you're part of that bunch that believes in miracles and signs and wonders and all of that, you're part of that bunch. And they're all heretics and they're all, you know, they went so far as to say it's of the devil. About 50 million of us that believe in miracles and believe that Jesus is the same. Amen. But I'm not going to give up my healing to accommodate their false theology. Can you say amen? I was dying of cancer. If I was in some churches, I would have been dead before I was 10 years old. But here I am today. Amen. Why are you here today? Because I wasn't in that church. I wasn't under that teaching. Amen. I was dying of cancer. What? I'm evidence that God still hears and answers prayer today. I'm evidence. I have a testimony. Devil tried to take me out for all these years, but I'm pushing 80. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, Brother Taylor, because I really groomed myself today. Amen. If I'd put something black on my beard, I would have looked 75. I'll be 79 in January. I wouldn't have seen my 9th birthday if I was in one of these dead churches where God sits aloof in his heaven, and whatever happens to you, God caused it to happen, and just roll with it. Oh, how I want to see a revival and a restoration of the greatness and goodness and grace and mercy and power and person of God. Amen. God is a good God. He's a God who challenged us. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's not revelations, deep revelations. It's a realization of him coming to manifest the answer when we pray. He is able. The Bible said he's able. And when you see able, it connotates faithful and able. Because he's able and not faithful, it won't do you a bit of good to know how much power he has. If he's not faithful, it won't do you any good. Can you say amen? But the Bible said that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it's never entered into the heart of man what God is able to do in behalf of those who put their trust in him. Eyes never seen it. Ears never heard it. It's beyond our ability to imagine. It means God is greater and he has more grace than we ever could give him credit for. And the Bible said that he is able and faithful. Able and faithful to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. According to, say it.
According to the power that worketh in us.
According to the power that worketh in us. That means we can release it or we can shut it down. Hello? Hello? According to your faith, so be it unto you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear what God don't do anymore, or what he can't do, or what he won't do. I want to hear what he will do and what he is doing. And I want to hear somebody give a testimony that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Christ that walked the sandy shores of Galilee is the Jesus that is in the room when we gather together, and the God that we serve and worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love the fact that he says anything you can imagine, I can far above, I can show you things that you've never dreamed of. But it's according to the power that worketh in you. And the faith within this blind man caused him to not give up when they shunned him and shamed him. And he cried even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped a dead stop, turned around and pointed right at him and said, bring that man to me. There's a lot of people with a lot of needs, but that man with that kind of faith stopped him dead in his tracks and said, bring that man to me. I don't know about you today, but I want to be that man when I have a need. I want to be the man that he says, bring that man to me. I'm going to manifest what he needs in his life. And so they brought him. And listen, he asked for faith. He asked for faith. He said, what shall I do for you? What do you want me to do? Now I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be God in flesh to know that a blind man needs his eyes open. Everybody say that's obvious. Why did he ask him? Because he wanted him to release his faith and declare his need and look to Jesus for it. And he said, Lord, that I might see. And this is something he said over and over again when faith was manifest by anyone. Hallelujah. Go your way. Your faith in me, of course, but your faith has made you whole. Can you say amen? Two can't walk together except they agree. And I love the brethren, and I love you guys. But if you want to talk about some ancient God who cannot be known and therefore could never be trusted if you can't know him. If you want to talk about an ancient God, this God who may or may not exist, who may hear, may not hear, this vague person that doesn't have a personality, that he has revealed to us through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not the God that I serve. That's not the God that I serve. I love what Jesus said about this invisible God that is more real than everything that we can see. As actually, the Bible said there's nothing seen, amen, that he did not create. Everything we see was made by a God who you can't see. Well, what is the more real? What he created or the creator who created it? Amen. It's God. They that come to God must, imperative, believe he is, and that not only he is, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That diligently seek him. When it goes against you and you pray anyway, when every circumstance turns to go the other way and you keep believing, that's diligence in seeking God. Amen. That's not somebody that, well, I prayed, nothing happened, so I'm not going to pray anymore. No, it's somebody said, I prayed, nothing happened, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig in and keep on praying. Praise God. I'm going to show the Lord that I'm a diligent seeker of God. How bad do you need to be met? Blind Bartimaeus saw it as a opportunity, a one-time opportunity. Don't know when he'll be back. He's passing by right now. I grew up listening to the radio on Saturday morning, Sunday morning. We had no television. Can you imagine? Did you hear what I said? Nobody's gasping in here. We had no television. Do you ever remember not having a TV? You do? I'm so glad you're here today. Fist bump. Amen. Because all these people here, they couldn't remember a day without a television. We had no television. So radio was my thing. And I remember at 6, 7 years old, before they diagnosed me with leukemia, about 7 with leukemia, I remember sitting by the radio on Saturday, listening to all the Saturday serial radio programs. And I just sit by this big old, it was a Sears made it. I think Airline was the brand. It stood about this high. The radio was tall as me. And I'd sit, turn my channel on, sit down by the radio. But Sunday morning, that's when the preaching came on. And I remember Oral Roberts was one of the ministers that came on radio at that time. I remember the theme song. Something good is going to happen to you. Because Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen. Oh, it began to build my faith. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. These little incidents along the way, these little seeds of faith that are sown in you, they grow in you. They're watered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and they grow in you. But I remember as a child, and oh, listen, the more my faith develops, the more I yearn for that childlike faith that I had. Because I wasn't concerned about logic and reason and all of these things that your mind will go back and forth on. I believed that God was real. I believed, amen, that Jesus Christ was real and relevant to me. And that song still gets me to this day. You probably won't hear it. It's an old song from way back. Something. Is it a good song? Do you like it so far? Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you. for Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. I believe the writer of that song had Bartimaeus in mind because Jesus was passing his way. Amen. And he yelled all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Bring that man to me." "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Lord, that I might see." He said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." And boom, the blind eyes popped open and he saw. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woman with the issue of blood. She's got female problems. She's hemorrhaging. She's getting weaker and weaker. And I don't know what they did then, but don't let this be anti-medicine, anti-doctor. They did the best they could with what they had. There was a time when they felt like if you're anemic and you're going down, they'll take the bad blood out. Because you've got some bad blood, they'll take it out. So they would bleed you, just what you need when you're anemic. Amen. I'm back in the castle day of castles and all that, the medieval times, they would bleed you. They would even put leeches on people. Let them suck the blood out of them because they're sucking out the bad blood. Well, they're sucking out all the blood. I mean, if you were healthy, you'll probably die. It said she suffered many things at the hands of the physicians. They did the best they could with what they had. Thank God we can do better now. But got no better. Kept going down, getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But she heard that a man was coming that had a reputation. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of the Living God. He has the power. Amen. And she said in her mind, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole." Amen. Now you can set that in your heart, have faith in your heart, but was that enough? What did she do? What is faith without works? Somebody tell me. Faith without works is dead. How dead? Oh, you're a good audience. Faith without works is dead. How dead? Graveyard dead. Can I tell you that's biblical? That's not just some little something out here. Amen. As it goes on to say, as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without corresponding actions is just as dead. How many's ever been to a funeral? Okay, it's not a trick question. Amen. I'm glad you went to pay respects. If I die, I invite you to come to mine. Amen. I'm trying to get back down to a size 40 suit, so I'm going to look really good. Amen. I mean, really, they can make you look pretty good. Cosmetology. They come in, makeup artist, and at the high price funerals, and they can fix you up, make you look 10 years younger after you die. How many's ever looked at someone that looked like they were sleeping, but it was evident and clear? That body that looks like it's okay, there's nobody in there anymore. That spirit is gone. Faith without works is as dead as that person lying up in that casket. And that's why we had to come up with some excuse for God. Well, God didn't will it. God didn't want it. God's doing something else. He's got some other plan. Nobody knows what it is, so there's no point in believing him for anything. I will never pray for the sick again if I don't believe that God is willing to heal the sick. There's no point in it. There's no faith in it. Because the only prayer that's going to help when you have a need is the prayer of faith. Can you say amen? And not just faith when on the person who's praying, but faith enough in the person who called for prayer to believe when someone with faith prays, and I've asked for prayer by faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ, when two people on earth shall agree as touching whatsoever they shall ask, it shall. You know why faith comes? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because God doesn't mince words. It's preachers without faith that try to explain away and make apologies for Him. I'm not here to apologize for God. I'm not here to make up and put words in His mouth. I'm telling you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that we are serving today. The God who said, "Forever, call upon me in the day of trouble." I will. Hallelujah. Y'all just hold on. We're almost done. Can you stand another 10 minutes? Praise God. I will deliver you. Psalm 50:15, and thou shalt glorify me. You want to bring God glory? Amen. Get a prayer answered and give Him the glory for it.
Hallelujah. If thou wilt, thou can make me whole.
He said, I will. I will. I will. I will.
God honors faith because faith honors God. So this woman with the issue of blood that suffered many things at the hands of the physicians, she said, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be healed. She had faith in her heart. Faith in her heart. But faith without works, corresponding actions, is dead, being alone. Just as dead as a body without the Spirit is dead. So when Jesus is passing by, something good is going to happen to you. Why? Because Jesus of Nazareth, He's not only passing by, He stopped right here where two or more gather in His name. What is the relevance of Jesus being in our midst? Why does it matter? What difference does it make? It's all the difference, because if God is sitting aloof in His heaven, there's no relevance to us with any needs here today. But if God is here, if Christ is here, hallelujah. I tell you, let me put it all together as we close. If I don't start closing now, we'll never stop. So I'm going to start closing early to give us a half an hour. It's kind of like a plane coming in. You know, you're coming in for a landing. And they ding, fasten your seat belts. We're coming in for a landing. But you circle the airport. And then you come on down. Well, we're circling the airport right now. After a while, we're going to be on descent. And we'll have to descend to the airport. But just keep your seatbelt on a little while longer till we land. Maybe you don't have God, a God, or God is not relevant to you for any of your needs because you've got Blue Cross Blue Shield and it's paid up. That's great until you can get the best hospital, the best doctor, and they come out and say, we've done all that we can do. When they come out and say that, you need the shield of faith. Can you say amen? And God wants to build it into us. That's why the Bible, if you just let it stand, brings such faith, comes by hearing the Word of God. Not somebody explain it away, somebody add to it or take from it, somebody try to tell you what God is like who wouldn't know God from Adam's house cat. You didn't know Adam had a house cat. He probably didn't, so don't worry about it. But people go to churches like that. They say, well, yeah. Que sera, sera. Italian. Am I speaking? That's not Italian? What is it? Oh, same. K. What? Sera, sera. What will be, will be. So I'm in the neighborhood. Okay. I thought she was going to say, what's the matter, you? She's Italian, okay? You say, Pastor, why don't you just talk about God in terms of some deities?
the man upstairs or some the force, the this, the that, because I know him. I know him. How do you know him? Because Jesus showed him to us. He took the visible and made him visible to us. The Bible said of Christ, he was the express image of him. He exegeted him. I know I'm getting into Greek here today. Amen. He exegeted him. He brought him out so we could see. So they heard Jesus talk about the Father, talk to the Father, and they said, Lord, show us the Father. And it'll satisfy us. He said, have you been with me so long? And then you say you haven't seen the Father? He said, listen, when you've really seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you say amen? How does that work? Thank you for asking. Amen. He said, the words that I speak are not my words. Arbitrary or exclusive. Amen. But what I hear my Father say. And the works that I do are not mine arbitrarily. Amen. But what I see my Father do. So when you've seen me, you've heard me, you get to know me, you know what God is like. Amen. Because God took on flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate, God in flesh, Jesus Christ. God is no longer this invisible, unknowing, a God you cannot know. He's a God you can not only know, a God you can know intimately and personally. That's why the disciples said in 1 John, truly our fellowship, our koinonia, intimacy, amen, is indicated, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faith without works is dead. So this woman is anemic, suffered many things at the hands of the physicians, and nothing helped her. But it wasn't just desperation that drove her. It was expectancy. She had a spirit of expectancy already in her heart. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need to do. Just touch the hem of his garment. I believe I'll be healed. What if it isn't his will to heal? Then nothing would have happened. She believed it was his will. She believed that he's a merciful God. She believed that he's a faithful God. She believed he's a God who loves his children. Can you say that? She knew something about him that gave her faith to trust him, that he would not deny her need. And so there was an entourage once again around Jesus. They're elbowing one another. They're pushing, shoving. And this woman had to get down on her hands and knees, because she's not looking for his head. She's not looking for his face to see if he wills or what he wants or what's going on. She's looking for one thing: if I can touch the hem of his garment. Did you know what the Old Testament priest had? The hem of their garment that came down to the foot. Remember the story of Ruth and Boaz, when Ruth lost her son, Naomi lost her son, and Ruth now is without a husband, and yet, so they go into the field to glean, and Boaz sees this mother and daughter that are hungry, and he takes handfuls of grain, and he goes out and he throws it out for them so they don't have to try to gather it. Handfuls on purpose to feed them. He's a generous man. He's a godly man. He's a good man. Amen. And you know what she told her daughter-in-law? She said, I want you to go. This is crucial to this truth. Amen. I want you to go in while he's sleeping. I want you to take the hem of his robe and put it over your head. And that means I'm looking to you to cover me. And you know what he did? He covered her. He covered her. And you know what Jesus, as a priest, amen, and as the Son of God, this lady said, if I can, she didn't just touch it like plugging in an appliance. and depersonalize God. Here's your faith principle. You know, when she touched it, power flowed. Because he's so anointed. No, what she did, she took the hem of his garment, put it over her head, said, cover me. If I can touch his garment, pull it over my head, hallelujah, there will be mercy and grace, and God will cover me. Amen. Do you see it deeper than just plugging in an appliance, getting some little neat faith formula, and depersonalizing God like he's some kind of big vending machine in the sky and you hit the right buttons and it'll flow to you? No, he's a God that can be known, appreciated, and faith appropriated, because they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Literally, will take action. So what did she do? She crawled on her hands and knees with the last strength that she had. You know, this kind of faith today that, well, I'm going to pray and see what happens. I'll tell you, before you pray, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. And then you're going to accuse God of not coming through. Sit in a dead church, go through all kind of incantations and motions. Church without a lampstand. When a church doesn't have an anointing, guess what happens? We got to fill that void with as much entertaining stuff to keep you coming, because there's nothing else to draw you. Amen? There's nothing else. You know it. Jesus said of that kind of church, you have a name that lives, but thou art dead. You got a name that represents a living God, but there's no evidence of this life of God in your midst. Got a lampstand that represents the holy anointing and the light of the glory of God, but your lampstand is gone, and all you have left is your religion. You don't have a relationship with me. I would have died in some of the biggest churches in the country that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what they would have sung at my funeral? Gathering flowers for the Master's bouquet. Master needs a bouquet on his table. So let's just kill a bunch of kids with cancer and fill his bouquet. That's not the church that I went to. Church that I went to, glory to God, some of your loved ones, your grandpa, grandma, great-grandpa, great-grandma. Wow. I see I get it all mixed up here. Amen. It's not just because I'm old. It's just because it's been a lot of time passed. Great-grandpa, great-grandma went to the church where I was healed of leukemia. Hallelujah. They had service 7 days a week. Gasp. They had service 7 days a week. Can you imagine that kind of hunger for God and what he would do when he sees that kind of hunger? He showed up and he showed out. Your great-grandma was part of the prayer group that met every morning to pray for that evening service. Brother Joe Woodward was the pastor. They were in the balcony praying for the service, and they heard singing. They heard singing, a choir singing so beautifully. And they said, there must be a visiting choir came. They all stopped their praying to listen to it. This choir singing praises unto God. They said they must be practicing for this evening service. We didn't know a guest choir was coming. And they kept looking. Where are they? Where are they? There was no choir. The angels of the Lord were singing. Somebody was singing. It wasn't the choir. It wasn't their cell phone. They didn't have no cell phone. My pastor, Pastor Joe Woodward, coming down Highway 92. There was no Interstate 4. From a service on the other coast. He said, somewhere on Highway 92, I nodded off. And I don't know when I nodded off, but when I woke up at the wheel, I could see my speedometer. I was doing 55 miles an hour. And I was in my lane. And out of my peripheral, he said, sitting beside me, "No, I'm sorry, I'm getting it wrong." He said, "I had fell over in the seat when I woke up before he saw his speedometer." He said, "There was a man in..." See, now you have a problem with this. See, we got a real problem with the supernatural. Now, we give the devil credit, amen, for demons and devils and manifestations, but when it comes to a holy God showing up, then that's a whole other thing. I don't believe that kind of stuff. Well, that's... See, I don't believe, I can't believe, I won't believe. The day that you decide to become a believer, you're going to become a receiver. Amen. Because whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. He said, "I looked over and said there was a man in white apparel that had a hold of the steering wheel. And said, the moment that I raised up and reached to take the wheel, he disappeared, and I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel, and I was doing 55 miles an hour. He said, I don't know how far I had traveled. That's the kind of church that your great-grandma and great-grandpa went to. 7-day-a-week church. Supernatural manifestation of the presence and power of God church. And that's the church where they brought a little boy dying of leukemia, given up to die with leukemia, down for prayer, with an evangelist from Texas who had no theological education of any sense, but he had faith in God. Hallelujah. He wasn't eloquent. He didn't use, you know, $50 words when the same word could be used for 50 cents. He made it plain. He made it clear. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. And the Christ that walked the sandy shores of Galilee is in this church here tonight. And the God that parted the water is in this room tonight. And that wasn't hyperbole. Hallelujah. That was the truth. And so when this little boy came for prayer and he diagnosed me before my mother could get out leukemia, "Would you pray for my son? He has He said, "I rebuke cancer of the blood in this boy in the name of Jesus Christ." Tell you the whole story, but just a few days later, because of the change in me, they took me back to Dr. Paul Minthorn, who had diagnosed me. So my mother said, "Look again, something's changed in my son. We were at church, we had prayer, something has changed." And men of science go, "We'll see about that." Can you say, man, but the God I serve can be verified? I said, "The God I serve can be verified. I'm verification." Hallelujah. Here I am today. I would have been pushing daisies. Amen. Fertilizer for the daisies. I'm glad I wasn't in a dead church. I'm glad they didn't talk about somebody somewhere up there somewhere so detached from us. And of course, men of science can't rationalize. So he said, on my report, here was all of the tests showing the cancer in the blood. The tests now run show no cancer in the blood. So he wrote on my report, spontaneous remission. Everybody say spontaneous remission. It was there, but after prayer, it's gone. So let's don't involve who? God? He doesn't do these things. There might not even be a God. I don't know. Nobody can prove it one way or the other. Yes, you can. If you get an answer to prayer. And it's supernatural. And it's something man couldn't do. Yeah. had to be God. Well, why does it stick in the craw to say, God has done this? I didn't do it. Medicine didn't do it. Amen. God did it. Give him the glory for it. Hallelujah. But it hurts so bad to say, God did this. Instead of spontaneous remission. I'm going to tell you something about cancer. Cancer does not just get up and leave. If you let it run its course, it'll kill you. Cancer is a killer. God is a healer. Glory be to God. I'm glad I was in that church. I'm not going to change this church so that people that just want to go to a dead church and go through the motions and blame God when things don't happen. This church is never going to be that. I'm never going to be that kind of preacher. Amen. Some of your friends aren't going to come here. Some are going to come and never come back. Can you say amen? But I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to give in. Someday somebody's going to need a miracle. I'd like to know that some faith has been sown in you so you can believe God with me. Amen. And I can pray for you and others can pray for you and we can see that miracle occur. Somebody's going to need a deliverance that wants to be free. I declare a God that will set you free. Can you say amen? I don't know this weak, anemic candidate for Geritol. Amen. That's a tonic from way back. Amen. This emaciated Jesus that just lets them hang him on a cross and they bury him and he stays dead and there's no power, there's no relevance. The Jesus I serve rose from the dead. He has all power in heaven and earth. Glory to God. His name still holds authority when we speak that name. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. So the woman with the issue of blood presses through that crowd. Hands and knees, I can see her. She takes that hem of Jesus' garment, puts it right over her head. It wasn't plugging in an appliance. She knew that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. He has enough mercy, and he has enough authority, and he has enough love, and he has enough power to cover me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he felt something leave his body, not his robe, but his body. It said Jesus felt power flow from him. Healing power. Jesus felt that touch, not from her hand, but from her faith. Hallelujah. And power flowed. And he turned around in a crowd pressing on him and said, "Who touched me?" Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. This is God incarnate. He knew who touched him, but he's asking her to acknowledge, "I did it. I'm the one." Oh, when faith touches God, God touches people. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm too excited for this room. We got to get a bigger room so I can run around sometime. Hallelujah. I start running in here, I'll trip and y'all have to pray for me. Glory to God. Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? She pulls that off of her head and she looks up. And he said, "Woman, go thy way." Listen, listen. He said it every time. "Thy faith, thy faith, thy faith has made you whole." And that issue of blood dried up. Hallelujah. And from that day forward, she had a testimony. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you. There used to be a song. You can't tell it like I can tell it what God has done for me. Amen. I have to tell it. He did it for me. And you can't tell it with the same joy and confidence and conviction like I can tell it. You can't tell anybody what God did for me like I can tell them what God did for me. Because it didn't happen to you, it happened to me. Hallelujah. Amen. I've preached preached for a black man up in Plant City, and when he introduced me to his congregation, he said, "This is the man that God healed of cancer when he was a child, the man I told you about." And I thought, well, you didn't tell them like I can tell them. They might have heard about it from you, but I got to tell them for myself. They got to see the joy in me. They got to hear the faith in my heart. They got to hear about the good God that I serve. Because you can't tell it, Brother Taylor, like I can tell it, what Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the way I am. I'm not going to change to tone it down. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. When people tell me to tone it down, I'm going to preach louder. Amen. I'm going to call on Jesus harder. Because if I have a need, I want him to stop and say, bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. Hallelujah. I don't feel my age today. Wish I could stay under the anointing when I leave. That dog better not be in my easy chair when I get home. He's a big dog, but we're going to wrestle. Sean, when I get home, the anointing lifts and God uses me like this. I probably lost 2 pounds. Already, if I preach another 30 minutes, I could get in that size 40 coat again. Hallelujah. God is so good today. I want to instill in you a spirit of expectancy to tell you about a God who is good, who is able to do and faithful to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you think or could possibly imagine or ask, according to the power that worketh in you. Yes, the person of the Holy Spirit, and yes, that faith that touches him. Hallelujah. That he touches back. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Not just the promise, but the person who made it. In this book, there is a revelation of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Christ who walked the shores of Galilee. Amen. And when you get to know him enough to trust him, then you can release your faith in him. And God will respond to you because he loves you. Enough to give his son. Here's the logic of the cross. Is this the fourth closing? Somewhere I've touched the marks a lot. Amen. Listen. Romans 8:31-32. If he loved us enough to give us his only begotten son. Question. Did he love us enough? Did he give him? Did Jesus go to the cross? Did he take our place? Did he pay our sin debt? That kind of love. You don't have to wait for a liver shiver. You don't have to wait for a goose pimple. You don't have to wait to see some smoke or some kind of manifestation. You accept that by faith because it's a done deal. It has happened. If he loved us enough to give us, and I mean to die for us, not to lay in a manger or stay in a manger, but to grow up at 33 years of age and die on a cross for us. If he loved us enough to offer up that sacrificial language, to give his son as a sacrifice for our sins that he would accept. Hallelujah. How will he not? How could we imagine if he gave his only begotten son? Amen. How could we imagine that he, with him and by him, will not give us all things? Amen. So the Bible speaks of that in the past tense after the cross. He hath, in Christ, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need to live a life of victory and please God, he's given us in Christ. Everything to fulfill us and satisfy us in life, he's given us in Christ. But we take it by faith. You can't even get saved unless you take it by faith. By grace you're saved.
Through faith.
Through what?
Faith.
Through faith? So just the fact that he died won't save you unless you, by faith, repent of your sin and receive him as your Savior. That's why without faith it's impossible to please him. Can you say, man, because he wants you saved. He wants you blessed. He wants to help you. He wants to hear you when you cry to him. He wants to answer, and he wants you to give him all the glory. And I got a lot of glory to give him. I preached in that black church, and I'm going to tell you, we had some people coming for prayer. I had to stay late and pray for people. Why? Because when they find out there is a God who answers prayer and there's evidence of it, other people take a hold of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? We're almost done. Boy, it was such a short service. I'm surprised we got done this early. Yeah, we've almost been here 2 hours. Fist bump, I feel the same way. Just want you to know, I feel you. I feel you. It shouldn't be an uphill battle to solicit faith from the faithful. When my brother prayed that there would be a manifestation of healing and miracles, that God will confront all this evil and all of this push of the devil with a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that some of the very people that are persecuting the Christians, they would come to know Jesus themselves. Praise God. How many had got something out of this to challenge you to begin to act on your faith and want to hear something when you go to church that will grow your faith in God? Hallelujah. So that you can pray and believe and receive and glorify him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.